And that was Tom Jones, Little Green Apples, of course, because we are going to dive into the orchard here on Afternoons. You're with David Astle, filling in for Claire Bowditch this week. And David Astle is joined by Danny Valente, the regular foodie and epicurean and just general gastronaut. Welcome, Danny.
Thanks for having me.
Now, apples. I was staggered doing a little bit of research on this to think that there are something like 7,000 varieties of apples. Is that even possible?
Well, it is possible. They're prolific and there are so many different kinds of apple. But of course, we don't see many of those in our fruit and veg shops or in our markets. Probably about 100 varieties. I mean, to be honest, we see about 5 really, don't we? But then you do see a few, you know, if new varieties do pop up here and there. And if you'd go to, you know, farmers markets and those kinds of things or heritage apple sales, you'll see extra varieties. But we don't see anywhere near 7,000, that is for sure.
And just as staggering as a kind of companion piece of data with that that figure is that according to the stats, the average Australian will only have one apple per week.
I know. That's sad to think about, isn't it? I mean, I think I'm getting more than my fair share, so it seems that perhaps some people aren't eating many at all. But I don't know. I feel like they're such a lunchbox staple, aren't they? Although perhaps we should admit that some do go to school in the lunchbox and come home in the lunchbox and may make a couple of journeys to and from school.
I think so. Or you find them thrown in the front yard, you know, with one bite or not even.
Yes.
They are the great jettisoned lunchbox treat too, I think.
Bit of a tragedy.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like a good apple, and it is apple season, so I am enjoying them very much at the moment.
Did you have one this morning?
I did actually. I grated one and had it through my porridge. So sometimes I grate it on top of my porridge, but this morning I did it the other way, which is I grate it and then cook it up in the porridge itself.
Now, does that count? Because I think really an apple should be crunched. It needs to have the sound effect. Would you qualify an apple a day as being grated apple on your porridge?
Well, I think if one is ingesting it, then I think it counts. I mean, let's talk to a statistician here. I'm sure there are expert apple statisticians, but yes, I definitely do count that. Okay. But I love that you've talked about the sound of the apple, because there's nothing like that sound of biting into an apple, that beautiful crunch. But also, what do you love, like I do, the sound of just tapping an apple?
Apples are one of the most soothing and conciliatory gifts of nature. Not just the crunch, but the shape, the
yep.
texture of them.
Yep.
I think there is a John Updike poem called The Comfort of Apples.
Oh.
And that title alone.
I was terrified you'd start reciting poetry.
No. Oh, no, hang on, that's all you're getting. But this is the idea. They are, I mean, they're universal. They come in so much idiom as well. And it seems as though every culture has its version of apples. You know, that's the other thing too, that they are a global fruit.
Yes, they are global, but we do grow most of them. Well, we grow more of Australia's apples in Victoria than anywhere else. So we're even allowed to feel a little bit parochial about apples here today, Victorians.
Now, I can just indulge me for a moment here, Danny, because, you know, to really know if you know your apples, I thought, well, I'll bring a few apples in and see if you do know your apples.
I'm prepared to be tested.
Or whether you're just talking a whole lot of apple sauce, as Groucho Marx would have said. Now, if you can just put that blindfold on, as
sure.
I have provided. You're being very game.
Yep.
Thanks for trusting me.
I do trust you.
Okay. Now, here is the first apple that we're really going to see. Now, obviously, it's more about the sound effect, listeners.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to be asked to crunch on air, but let's do it.
What is that?
Well, I can tell you it's not one of my favourites.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to say like a Red Delicious or a Royal Gala or one of those, a red-skinned apple for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the red-skinned apples, in my opinion, is that they are the first to go a little bit soft once they're picked. And it doesn't have, I don't know if you, dear listeners, could hear just a, you know, like on the crunchometer, I'd say that was about a 6.5.
So crunchometer obviously very important when it comes to evaluating the apple's appeal.
I believe so.
Because
it's an auditory pleasure as well as, you know, all the other aspects we've discussed.
Well, before we plunge into all the various uses of apples, which I'm keen to talk about as well.
Yeah.
I've just got two more apples, so indulge
okay,
me.
Okay, sure. Yes.
This one is a more unusual strain of apple, or
okay.
cultivar, I think is the word.
All right.
See, you go with this.
Oh, well, eating on air is,
it's a bit
I don't
rude.
Know. It's a bit rude. Like, I'm enjoying it, but I don't trust that that everyone else is. But look, you've got me in my sweet spot here because this is my new fave apple. Ah. It is Elbowed Out the Jazz, and it's a Kansy,
oh,
I reckon.
Done.
Kansy's a new cultivar, and yeah, I can't remember what it's a cross between, but it's delicious, and it does have that beautiful, it's almost spherical, isn't it? And it just fits so nicely in the hand. They come in different sizes, but I will just eat it right down to the core.
So what is it about because I think the Kansy is very similar to the Jazz, you know, which is, again, one of those sort of more spherical apples.
Yeah.
And one of the more kind of recent cultivars.
Yes.
What is it about those apples that that stand out against the Royal Gala, which was your first apple, by the way? Well done.
Thank you. So, look, I think what stands out is that it's that balance of crispness, sweetness and tartness, and just it's juicy without sort of, I mean, let's say the juice will get to your wrist but not down to your elbow, so it's not too juicy. It's just right.
Yes. Well, that's it. The other thing about is how sensuous apples are. I mean, they are just sort of naturally succulent, and, of course, you know, the Garden of Eden, and apples are always the apples of wisdom.
Yeah.
We've got one more apple.
Okay.
One more apple. Now, again, just make sure that blindfold's correctly
Absolutely.
Positioned.
Well, this apple does feel very curious, I must say, Mr. Astle. Well.
What happened to the crunch?
I have to say, good sir, that this reminds me of doing one of your cryptic crosswords where one feels rather duped and a little bit silly, because I would suggest that is an orange, not an apple.
It was an orange, and I'm going to ask you to compare apples with oranges. What is it about oranges you don't like?
Well, you know what? At the moment, oranges, they're not really quite in season yet. So I don't know where that orange I don't know where it hails from. It could perhaps be a Californian orange.
Actually, it was from Greece, I'm sad to say. You know, all those wonderful listeners from Sunraysia, I wish I could find an Aussie orange.
No, they're on their way. They're coming. But that's why we're talking about apples today, because apples are in full swing and oranges are yet to come. So I guess what I'm tasting there, I'm tasting the stench of food miles. And look, I love an orange and I'm really looking forward to them. But let's eat oranges together in a few weeks.
Someone who's on the crisp edge of apple cultivation is Thomas from King Island. Welcome, Thomas. How are you going? Welcome, Thomas.
Yeah, really good. No, it's a brilliant place to live, and it's a fantastic subject because I grow heritage apples here on the island as well.
So is heritage a cultivar? Is it a particular type of apple?
Heritage are anything that's not a modern cultivar.
Okay.
So anything from 1,000 years and up to, I think my youngest one's about, 1930s.
Danny, here's your chance to ask that question you've been burning to ask an orchardist who only specialises in heritage apples. Is there something that I'm sure you, with your foodie background, would love to ask, Thomas?
As much as you love putting people on the spot, I suspect. I would love to know if there's a variety that you are growing that you think we should be seeing in our stores. I know some of the heritage apples aren't commercially widely available because they don't travel so well or they don't store so well, but is there something that we're missing out on that you reckon we could get?
Well, you were just saying that your favourite new apple at the moment is the Jazz.
Yeah, well, it's up there. It's up there.
Yeah, I've got an apple here from, it'd have to be 300 years old, I would say, and it's called a Adam's Pearmain.
An Adam's, what's the second word, Thomas?
Adam's Pearmain.
Oh, okay, Adam's Pearmain, right.
It's an American apple.
Mm-hmm.
And it has exactly the same flavour profile, probably not quite as crisp.
Okay, wow. Well, I would love to get my hands on one of those.
Well, you've got the name now. You can search around for it.
I will. I'll look for it. You know, in Melbourne, we're lucky to be able to visit Ripponlea Estate, where there are a number of heritage apple trees, and it's just wonderful to walk through that little orchard and see, you know, what we're not seeing in our markets and our fruit bowls.
No, I'm right with you there.
Good on you, Thomas. Thanks a lot, mate. Thanks for calling in, and all the best to the King Island there. What a great place to be calling from.
I'll pass it on to you.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you.
I went down there for my honeymoon. It's very fond in my heart. It's the apple of my eye as far as islands go. Good on you, Thomas.
On that note, goodbye.
Yeah, cheers, mate. There you go, Thomas. So the Adam's Pearmain, I must remember that.
Yeah.
Now, apples are in season, so what, aside from crunching them or grating them on porridge, what should we be doing with them, Danny?
Well, I think apples lend themselves to both sweet and savoury dishes. So I love apple, if we're thinking savoury, I love apple in a coleslaw. I love a bit of traditional apple sauce with me roast pork.
Yeah.
But I don't mind just grilling apple as well and having that on the side of some roast pork. Really, really quite delicious. I'm sure you're a Fawlty Towers fan, and did you love the Waldorf salad episode?
Yeah.
Where it's apple, celery, walnuts and grapes. I will never forget the constituents of that salad.
Well, in fact, that's just winding it back. Coleslaw, that's an innovative ingredient. I think that's a really inspired ingredient for coleslaw, apple.
Yeah, look, obviously you want a very crisp apple and, you know, you can grate it, but I think preferable to cut it into matchsticks so you do get that nice texture. But, yeah, I think apple and cabbage, and especially apple and vinegar, and you can go very kind of cozy and go apple with apple cider vinegar, and then you're really, I guess, bringing out some of the tartness of the apple and highlighting that, which I think, yeah, it's lovely.
Getting some great homegrown tips from listeners here. Jim has texted in on 0437 774 774 with the advice that sliced apple in a lunchbox needs a slice of orange with it so it doesn't go brown.
That's good. I've done the squeezing lemon juice, but not the slice of orange. I've also done one where I've segmented an apple but not taken it off the core and then put a rubber band around it.
Oh, that's smart too.
Yeah.
And less plastic, of course. That's also good.
Yeah, that's pretty handy.
Sweet Tango, another SMS coming in. Sweet Tango, a variety of apple from the US, apparently floats this listener's boat. And Catherine, love the blindfold taste. Yes, well, I couldn't resist. She also adds, Catherine, that she's an apple and pear grower from the Goulburn Valley. And Kansi grow here too, as well as our pink ladies. There you go. Who was the pink lady, I wonder? We've got a call from Michael, in fact, has joined us with another type of apple. Welcome, Michael.
G'day. Just one thing. I've noticed that Jonathan seemed to be making a comeback. Haven't seen them for a few years. And the second thing is, about 10 years ago, I bought some gravestines. Have you heard of those?
Yeah.
I have not, but maybe Danny has, yeah.
And they were when they're, like, on song, they're beautiful apples, but they went off very easily. But I don't know where to find them anymore.
Yeah, I think they've been edged out a little bit by some of the new cultivars. But, yeah, I mean, perhaps at a farmer's market, I haven't seen them this season, that's for sure.
Yeah, anyway.
Good on you, Michael.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call, mate. It was Michael from Kilsyth. Baked apples with dates or sultanas in the middle. Yummy.
Yes, very nice.
Lots of exclamation marks there from Annie. And grated apple onto sausage rolls. That is all, says John. Mic drop from Echuca. That just seems, you know, heretical. Grated apple.
I suppose we should be eating apple rather than tomatoes with our sausage rolls in winter, but my goodness, I've never thought to do that and I will be giving it a go.
So what about apples that have turned? You know, the ones that sit in the fruit bowl maybe for a day too long.
Yeah.
Are they beyond saving? Are there other things you can do to, you know,
stew them up. Mm-hmm. But it would be good to save the apple from disaster in the first place. So they are much better stored at cool temperatures. So keep them in the fridge if you can. Although I have to say, there's nothing like looking at a beautiful bowl of apples in the fruit bowl. So that the answer to that is just to eat them faster. Now, apple storage is a pretty big topic. And yeah. This year, for the first time, both major supermarkets are selling unwaxed apples as a matter of course. And I think that's fantastic. Like, consumers have been telling them they don't want the wax. And there's a bit of a wax, backlash against
backlash,
wax.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an interesting one. And I suppose my heart tells me, of course, I don't want to eat apples that are waxed. But the wax is a naturally occurring substance that the apples are grown with. And it's only taken off when the apples are washed and then replaced. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a curly one.
We may have inspired Tony. He's on the Hume Highway. He's just, in fact, bitten into your first apple. Welcome, Tony.
It's not my first apple. Good afternoon, gentlemen. My first apple in I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fruit eater. And I've just did a health check thing with the CMA last week. And they said I need to eat fruit. So last week I was eating bananas. I've just finished my first apple, as I said, in I don't know how many years. And when this program came in, I thought, well, it's rather fortuitous.
Wow. Was it any good? Did you love it?
It was, and it wasn't one of your favourites. It was a Royal Gala, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tony. I reckon that gets a lot of bad press from Danny.
Oh, I'm sorry to all the Royal Gala fans out there. I think that's a good apple, but it just needs to be eaten quickly. I'm so excited. You're going to be getting Australia's average up by eating apples now.
You go for it, Tony.
I actually went and bought half a dozen, so that's this week's supply.
There we go.
Keep the doctor away, mate.
Okay.
Good on you, Tony. Thank you.
See you, guys.
Okay, bye. Cheers. Now, Rosalind has called in from Dandenong. She's got a little bit of info about the gravestine.
Oh, good.
Oh, here we go.
Hi. Yeah.
G'day, Rosalind.
In the olden days, mm-hmm. Before they had controlled atmosphere and so forth, they only had cold storage. And so by Christmas time, the apples are really pretty, you know, getting a bit off.
Flowery,
but
yeah.
The Gravensteins were one of the first to come into season. And they're beautiful. They're really crisp and tart. But they go soft quickly and they sort of rot from the inside out.
Mm.
And because they don't have a long shelf life, they were superseded. But no, they were delicious. And I picked up some just the other week at Farmer's Market down to a Kiwi.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. That's good to know.
But another good one was a big green cooking apple called Five Crown.
Wow.
Gee, they had five bumps at the bottom. If you turn the apple upside down, there were sort of five sort of bumps
at
the bottom.
Yeah, another one.
They were called Five Crown.
Okay. Well, when you said big green cooking apple, I was thinking the words Granny Smith were going to come next, but they didn't. But Granny Smith is perhaps my preferred apple for cooking with.
Good on you, Rosalind. Thank you for the update. And good to know where you can get a Gravenstein if people are interested. We've got lots of texts coming in, including a text of Irene in Frankston. There's a very pretty orchard in Templestowe that has over 150 rare apple varieties, including snow apples. Have you ever tried those, Danny?
No, I don't think I've been that lucky, but that's fantastic.
So many texts and calls. We've got Trevor from Williamstown, may actually be our last caller coming in, about another type of apple. Welcome, Trevor.
Good afternoon, boys.
Danny, it's one boy, one girl.
Well, boy, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. have you ever heard of Yates apples?
No, I have not, but Danny may have.
No?
What is it?
No, I'm a Yates newbie.
Yates, my uncle's had orchards in Shepparton when I was a young lad, which is a long time ago, and they had several trees of Yates apples. They're small, very firm and very sweet apples. You could eat about seven at a time. They're absolutely beautiful, and I've never heard of them ever since I left Shepparton.
Okay, well, maybe we need to do a bit of homework about that. I mean, there are 7,000 varieties out there, I've just learnt, so it's very hard to keep track of some of your more favourite varieties if they are on the margins of popular taste. It sounds like farmers' markets might be a better shot there, Trevor.
I don't think you'll ever see them again.
You may possibly be right there. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate your input. We've got Marilyn. This is our last caller from Bannockburn, who has got a wonderful apple recipe. Welcome.
Thank you.
What have you got for us?
Well, I have grated apple on hot buttered toast, and it's as good as apple pie.
Oh.
A very good way of getting your fruit portion any morning because it's quick and easy to eat, and the toast heats the apple up, and it's just really good.
Oh, so you put the grated apple on cold on the toast, and that actually radiates the warmth into the apple.
Yeah, grate the apple straight onto the toast. Very
wow,
nice.
That sounds delicious. When I run out of oats and don't have a porridge day, that's definitely what I'm going to do.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, you should see Danny's expression. It's certainly made up for that glassy eyes I got from giving her an orange. But thank you so much for being a wonderful sport, Danny, and also a great cultivator of cultivars and telling us a lot about what apples we should be getting our teeth stuck into.
Thank you for feeding me and thanks for the chat.
All right. Danny Valente, of course, writer, cook and regular here on Afternoons with Claire Bowditch. As per usual, I'm David Astle filling in.